I was 15 years old when this happened. I started casually playing golf a few years back and was playing decent enough to get on my high school golf team, which back then it didn't mean much. Our high school hardly had any golfers. And if you have a set of old hand-me-down clubs and could hit the ball decent and score in the low to mid 40s for a nine-hole round, I think you're pretty much on the team. And the course that I learned was right next to the airport. It was a cheap nine-hole municipal course with lots of dirt patches and hackers yelling four, since the fairways were designed to cram all of them into a pretty small piece of land. And it was a fun stomping ground for me and my friends. My dad and I started golf around the same time. He encouraged it. He bought me a set of clubs and stuff for himself. And we learned by hitting little, you know, those plastic balls in our backyard. Eventually, we made it out on the course. And, you know, I always played a little bit better than him. But it was never a competition. We're just happy to be out there and playing together. I think that as I started playing on the high school team, I started to develop some additional skills and shots that I didn't have before. And I was becoming a legit player. And my scores begin to show in it. I even shot like high 30 sometimes for nine holes. And I was creating some memorable shots around the green. My short game started to blossom. I was playing more confidently to the point where I felt I passed my dad's level by leaps and bounds. Then something very tragic happened. I will never forget this one Saturday. When we were playing together, we were on the eighth hole. It's a pretty interesting hole. It's like 360 yards and a big lake on the right side of the fairway. It crept into the fairway about 100 yards from the green. So if you hit it in the middle of the fairway pretty decently, you have about 120, 125 yards shot over the water for your second shot. For some reason, I was struggling my wedge shots all day. From hole number one all the way to hole number eight, even simple wedge shots were hit fat or pulled or bladed. No matter what I did, I just couldn't hit it pure. I had a few previous shots that upset me, and you know, after yelling at some profanities and smashing the wedge on the ground, I thought I was over it. It's all freaking frustrating. So on my second shot on the eighth hole, is when the tragedy struck. I chunked the ball into the lake right in front of me. And that wasn't the tragedy, but how I reacted and what I did forever will define my worst moment in golf. Maybe it was a built-up anger brewing in my soul from the previous mistakes. Whatever it was, I blew up. I turned bright red, like veins popping out of my neck. I grabbed the bag. My right hand gripped the top of the bag. My left hand gripped the bottom. I held the bag horizontally in front of me. I started running forward. And with all my strength and might, I took it back and I threw it forward and up in the air as far as I could towards the lake. I wish I could have seen myself at the time. I remember the bag just flowing in the air. Some clubs stayed in the bag, some were halfway out, and the rest flew out of the bag, creating their own flight path. I didn't care where it landed and what happened to the clubs or the bag. I just walked past the bags, the scattered clubs on the ground. I just walked past hole number eight and then eventually hole number nine. And I walked directly into the clubhouse restaurant and I sat down on the table just fuming. My dad arrived about 10 minutes later. And you can see the disappointment in his eyes. He held his bag in one hand and mine in the other. And he had picked up all the, you know, scattered clubs. Put in the bag and carried both of them in. And he didn't say a word to me. He just walked silently to the car and I followed him from behind. In the car halfway home, he finally broke the silence and he said, "Don't do that again." And I nodded. And you know what? I never did it again. Hey, this is Hanji Lee, and you are listening to Better Golf Academy. I am here to share the best secrets of improving your score without mechanical swing tips. It's all about strategy and your mental game. So are you ready? All right, let's go. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Better Golf Academy Podcast. I am your host, Hanju Lee. Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you had an amazing week. Did you guys hear about Ryan McCormick? You're going to die. He is a 33-year-old professional golfer, and he made the headlines this week by taping his own mouth shut. Okay, there's a picture of him if you want to see it. It was his desperate attempt to control his on-course rage and outbursts. He was on the PGA Tour, but he's now competing on the Korn Ferry circuit. And he admitted his ongoing struggles with his temper after shooting 73 and missing the cut by 4 shots. He said, "I've tried a lot of things and I figured I just shut myself up. So I put a tape over my mouth." Oh my God, this is hilarious. Maybe a bit pathetic and almost sad at the same time, but I want you to listen to the interview yourself. And here he is as he explains the situation.
"Been having not so fun time this year on the golf course. I'm pretty angry and mad. So I figured I've tried a lot of things. And I just figured I'd shut myself up. So I put tape over my mouth. I mean, at this point, I've tried about everything. I've read a lot of books. I've talked to people. Just too angry on the golf course. So I have run out of ideas. And I thought about the tape thing a couple weeks ago. And yeah, so just unfortunately came down to that today. I was hoping maybe it would help me. Can't say that it did or didn't. But yeah. I don't know. It certainly makes you breathe. I mean, you know, I felt like Bane, like Batman, just like muzzle myself. I mean, I'm not like proud, but it, you know, it's, I don't want to create an experience for my playing partners that's not, you know, fair. And, you know, it's not fair to me either or other people. So I, you know, having a tough time. And that was my solution today."
So what is this rage? Where does it come from? How is it controlled? Can it be controlled? Obviously, it doesn't help our game and negatively affects everyone around you. Or does it help our game? And if it doesn't, why do we keep doing it? And why can't we stop? And if we can't stop, is there a way we can use it for good? Dude, I have too many questions. But here, let's start at the very beginning and with this question. Is anger bad? Did you ever ask that question before? I mean, it's a normal human emotion that serves, I believe, an important function in life. I don't think anger itself is inherently bad. Don't you think it serves some kind of purpose? Like, for instance, I think anger is very informative, right? It's a pure, raw, like anger signals something important that we care about. I also think anger works as a protective mechanism. It helps recognize when someone crosses the boundaries and it alerts us, right? When someone's really angry, it alerts us. I also think anger can be like a motivator when channeled properly. It can sharpen our focus. Have you ever played angry golf? I played one of my best rounds, pissed off. But the problem arises when anger is uncontrolled. It can lead to crazy outbursts that can like truly harm people around us and our own performance. And I think anger can be misdirected, focusing on the past shots, not being in the present moment. And I think anger can overwhelm us. It can flood our system and prevent clear thinking. Yeah. I think there's a distinction, very, very clear distinction between a destructive anger, like throwing clubs, outbursts of profanities, breaking things, hitting things, versus like a productive intensity, like channeled emotion that can enhance focus and determination. So would you agree that we shouldn't try to eliminate emotions entirely, but learn to transform that emotional energy into something that works for your game rather than against it? And let's call it emotional mastery. Honestly, I have no idea what's happening internally with players like Patrick Cantlay and Cam Young, but I hate watching them play with zero emotion externally. They don't show anything. They're just complete robots with no facial expression, no outbursts. They don't even crack a smile. I honestly hate watching them. In fact, when they're in contention to win, I find myself rooting against them. Because I guess for me, they take human element out of the game. And when they're playing lifeless, I just don't want to have anything to do with it. I love fist bumps with victorious putts that go in. And I love like this burst of body language representing an agony of defeat when tragedy strikes with a double bogey. That's what this game is all about. So all that to say, anger is not a bad thing when it's managed. And anger is good when it's mastered. So how do we master our emotions? I think before anything, we need to understand the root of our anger. I have a friend who's a professional therapist, Dr. Hannah Che. And when I decided to talk about anger in this episode, and I asked her what she thought about it, and she said, you know, anger is usually a secondary emotion, meaning there's something more that's leading to that emotion underneath. Like, what? So you mean when I burst out in pure rage after I miss a shot, I'm not mad because I missed a shot. There's something else going on. What could it be? Well, let me break it down. According to psychology experts, when we experience anger, it's almost always covering up a more vulnerable primary emotion. Think about this. Anger feels powerful, right? When you're angry, you feel strong, in control, even righteous. But emotions like disappointment, shame, embarrassment, or fear, those feel weak and vulnerable. And our brains don't like feeling vulnerable. So what happens on the golf course? You hit a chunk wedge shot in front of your buddies and boom, instant anger. But what's really happening underneath? According to Dr. Hannah Che, my friend, maybe it's embarrassment or fear. I'm never going to get better. Embarrassment like, oh, I look like a total amateur out here. Or complete disappointment. Man, I practiced the shot, exact shot for hours. What happened? Okay, so here's the thing. Until you identify what's really triggering you, you're just treating the symptom, not the disease. So how do we start identifying these root causes? Well, here's a simple technique. Let's call it what's beneath practice. The next time you feel anger bubbling up in the course, ask yourself, dude, what am I really feeling right now beneath this anger? Then give yourself a few options. Am I embarrassed, disappointed, scared, feeling inadequate? Just naming the real emotion takes away some of its power. And once you know what's really triggering you, you can address the actual issue. For example, if your anger stems from embarrassment about how you look to others, maybe you need to work on caring less about others' opinions. If it's a disappointment because you had unrealistic expectation, maybe you need to adjust those expectations to match your current skill level. So the first step to emotional mastery isn't controlling your anger. It's understanding what's beneath it. And that awareness creates a space between stimulus and response. And in that space lies your power to choose a different reaction. Now you've identified the true emotion underneath your anger. What's next? Well, that brings us to our second key for emotional mastery. The second key is developing what I call your emotional circuit breaker. Just like the circuit breaker in your home, it prevents electrical overloads, right? It shuts off before it blows up. You need a mental circuit breaker that kicks in before your emotion go nuclear on the golf course. Here's what's fascinating about anger in golf. There's almost always a gap, even if it's just a split second, between the disappointing event and your emotional reaction. There's a gap in between there. That tiny gap is your opportunity for mastery. So how do you build your own emotional circuit breaker? It comes down to three practical steps. Number one, first, you need a physical trigger, something you do with your body that interrupts the anger cycle. Some pros touch their club badge, other adjust their gloves, some take extra long look at the target. Tiger Woods famously gives his club a single twirl after a bad shot. The specific action doesn't matter as much as having something deliberate that gives your rational brain a second to catch up. Second, you need a mental direct, a go-to thought that shifts your focus. The most effectively redirects are usually questions, not statements. Instead of telling yourself, calm down, which rarely works, ask yourself, what's the smart play here? Or what would my best self do right now? Questions force your brain to shift gears from emotional processing to problem solving. And problem solving engages your prefrontal cortex, which helps regulate emotional responses. And third, this is the most overlooked part. You need regular practice when you're not on the course. The middle of an emotional hijack is not the best time to try new mental skills for the first time. The world-class athletes practice their emotional regulation strategies just as diligently as they practice their physical skills. Your emotional circuit breaker doesn't eliminate the feeling, and that's not even the goal. The goal is to give yourself that crucial moment of choice between feeling and action, because mastery isn't about feeling. It's about not being controlled by what you feel. And that brings us to our third and final key to emotional mastery on the golf course. The third key is transforming emotional energy into focused intensity. This is where the magic happens. Dude, here's the truth that most golfers miss. Anger itself isn't the enemy. It's just energy, and energy can be redirected. Think about some of the greatest performances in history. Tiger wins Torrey Pines on a broken leg. Jack charges at the 86 Masters. Brooks Koepka staring down at the field. And Bethpage Black. These weren't emotionless robots out there. They were players with tremendous emotional intensity. But that intensity was channeled perfectly into their performance. As I said, some of the best rounds were angry rounds that I started to dominate after a few lost holes in a row. Like I did that in a match play tournament. What discovered was anger and frustration contain a powerful energy. And when that energy gets scattered through club throwing, self-criticism, or endless rumination, it destroys your game. But when you funnel it into intense focus, it can actually elevate your performance. So how do you make this practical? Well, great question. Well, there's a three-part approach called channel, direct, and release. First, channel. This means acknowledging the emotional energy without judging it. Don't tell yourself, I shouldn't be angry. That just creates more internal conflict. Instead of think, I got some serious energy right now, and I'm going to use it. Second, direct. Choose exactly where to focus that energy. The more specific, the better. Not just hit a good drive, but complete commitment to my target and full smooth finish. Narrow the focus to something specific and constructive. Third, release. Once you hit the shot, let the emotion go completely. Many golfers carry their anger from one shot to the next, creating snowball effect. Like me, throwing my bag towards the lake. Make a clean emotional break after each shot. This approach isn't about suppressing emotion. It's about using it effectively. Think of it like water flowing through a garden hose. When the opening is wide and undirected, the water sprays everywhere without much force. But when you put your thumb over it, the part of the opening, it creates a narrow channel. That same water becomes a powerful, directed stream. Your emotional energy works the same way. The greatest golfers aren't the ones who feel the least. They're the ones who channel what they feel most effectively. Patrick Cantlay. So there you have it. Three keys to emotional mastery on the golf course. Number one, understand the root of your anger by identifying the primary emotion beneath it. Thank you, Dr. Che. Number two, develop your emotional circuit breaker to create space between feeling and reaction. Number three, transform your emotional energy into focus intensity through the channel, direct, and release approach. When you master these three keys, something amazing happens. You stop fearing your emotions on the course. Instead of being at the mercy of each shot outcome, you develop an ability to use whatever emotional state arises to enhance your performance rather than derailing it. Think about that guy who taped his mouth shut during the tournament. Dude, the problem wasn't that he wasn't feeling too much. It was that he didn't know how to use what he was feeling. He was trying to silence his emotions rather than mastering them. The true emotional mastery isn't about feeling less. It's about using what you feel more effectively. It's not about taping your mouth shut. It's about transforming your emotional responses into your competitive advantage. So next time you feel that like surge of anger or frustration on the course, yo, don't fight it. Understand it. Control it. Channel it. Your best golf is waiting on the other side of that mastery. Well, did that resonate with you at all? Do you agree? Now, I'm not going to leave you there. I got some drills for you. I'm calling it the anger management drill. These are actionable things that you can practically do during your round or practice round or just practice session to develop your skill in a fun and challenging way. To download the drills, go to bettergolfacademy.com/rage, R-A-G-E. You'll get a link to a free download. Well, thanks for being here with me. I learned a bunch, and I hope you did too. And if you did, do me a huge, huge favor. Could you please share this with a friend who needs to hear this? Like maybe subtle hint. Hey, dude, you need to hear this. Also, take some time to leave me a review, and I would love for you to subscribe. And if you want to chat with me directly, go to bettergolfacademy.com/hello and leave me a note. I promise to get back to you. Hey, let's keep building this Better Golf Academy community together. But in the meantime, thanks for listening to the Better Golf Academy podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Be awesome, and bye for now.